Welcome into this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News. I'm Hub Arkish, the publisher and editor, along with my associate editor, also our senior editor, Mike Wilkening, and our co-host every week on the show, Jim Clemens of the L.A. Lakers, is good enough to join us, and we're going to be talking a lot of NBA, the wild chase and the wild, wild west for the playoffs, talk about a couple hot teams in the East. We've got some special guests joining us, but first, we've got to talk about the NCAA tournament. Now, we remind everybody that in order to reach you in 137 different markets around the country, we have to tape late in the week, and so third round games in action as we speak. Some of you will be hearing this as fourth round games are kicking off, but those first two rounds, and particularly that tournament down in Tampa, was really, really pretty wild. Jim, I don't know how much of it you got to see, but when you see the Davidsons and Western Kentuckys and Villanovas and San Diegos winning first round games, especially after Thursday, no upsets. The chalk held in almost every game, and then Friday, everything blew up. One of the better tournament first rounds you've seen?
Well, it's interesting what happened, and the fact remains that a lot of people lost. Well, should we talk about pools?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the first round, everybody was patting themselves on the back. Oh, yeah, I'm 15-1, I'm 16-0. And then after the second night, we just kind of looked at each other and said, oh, well, that goes that. But right, I think it was very interesting. I'm very happy for those teams that who played Slay the Giant.
Well, and, you know, Mike, any lower seed who wins a game, it's an upset, you give them credit, but sometimes it's a case of the seeding, it's a case of the draw. But you look at a couple of these teams, and I'm focused particularly on Davidson and Western Kentucky. These are pretty good basketball teams who probably, you know, if you just looked at talent and ability, should have been seeded higher than they were.
Right. And for my money, the Drake-Western Kentucky game in round one was, you know, one of the better round one games I've ever seen. Two teams that really went at it. And what a shame for Drake in the sense that they were a five seed and it wasn't a 5-12 upset where the five team didn't show up. I mean, a different draw, a different team, they might have gone on. Davidson, again, they were a team we talked about in the weeks leading up to this tournament. They could have very easily been a higher seed if they would have been in a power conference. They didn't lose, you know, after January. They were playing very, very well. Everybody talked about the non-conference schedule. Clearly, the tact they took in terms of scheduling very tough teams, North Carolina, UCLA, teams like that, worked out for them. And the most important thing for Cinderella is they have a bona fide star. You know, Stephen Curry is somebody that's going to play professionally one day. People said, oh, he's a little on the short side, too skinny. The kid can shoot, and he's a star, and it's been wonderful to see him perform on this stage.
Now, Jim, you know, as much fun as it is to see the Currys and kids like that arrive and see the upsets and the lower seeds, I'm beginning to suspect the story of this tournament could still be how good the top seeds are. And I'm talking about all four number ones and the twos that are still in the tournament. These are really good basketball teams. And I think maybe at the end of the day, the best games are still when you see these teams start to clash.
Well, I think that, you know, let's go back to Davidson real quickly. And I think that what they did, and I think Mike is absolutely correct, is the right way that, quote-unquote, the mid-level teams have to have an impression on the committee. But once again, when they play those quality teams earlier in the season, in preseason games and in tournaments, and then come seeding time, the committee sometimes, I think, don't look as favorably on those teams. And once again, I think they're caught between a rock and a hard place as to what they have to do to make an impression on the committee. And I think sometimes it's unfair because I think the committee is still viewing them, quote-unquote, as mid-level and not worthy of being playing with the big boys. I think they're incorrect on that.
But you know what's interesting about that, Jim, is that if you go to fix it, it's almost to a Davidson's advantage. You know, let's see him move on. I mean, if you move him up, if you seed him 5, 6, or 7, and then they get knocked off by some other team, you know, then they're just another one of those teams that people can say got too much credit, and there was no benefit to them. So on one hand, I agree with your point, and I understand. But on the other hand, I think that's one of the great things about the tournament is that you get to see these teams pop out. And if they weren't seeded as low as they were, it might be tougher for them to get into the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight.
Well, I think they're caught between a rock and a hard place, mm-hmm. no matter what they do. And I'm very empathetic to coaches at that level and then players who decide to go to a Davidson as opposed to one of the larger schools who get the quality education and to play against the big schools. But, you know, let's let the tournament committee, you know, work that out somewhere down the line, guys.
All right, now, guys, and Mike, I'll start with, let me get back to that other question. As much as I've enjoyed the tournament so far, I'm hard-pressed to see North Carolina or Kansas lose. I think Wisconsin's been extremely impressive. UCLA and Memphis, not quite so much. Tennessee obviously has some warts. But I look at North Carolina and Kansas, and I think if they end up meeting, I don't see either one of them losing. I just don't know.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is that if indeed they get through to the Final Four, they're going to meet in the national semifinal, which, I mean, in a lot of ways is would be, you know, I think a game that could actually be the de facto national championship given the way these two teams have played. But, you know, from North Carolina's standpoint, I think the key for that's always been for them is the mental aspect. If they show up, and if they get after it a little bit defensively, offensively, they're so strong. And the pace they can play at and the pace they can dictate to other teams is such that, you know, really they can assert their will like few other teams. Kansas defensively so strong as well. You know, again, very, very impressive thus far. No matter what happens this weekend, you have to really like what you've seen from both clubs.
Jim, we've got just about 30 seconds or so, but I've got to ask you, you're a Big Ten guy, an Ohio State alum, and it was, you know, by everybody's account, a down year for the Big Ten. And yet Wisconsin and Michigan State roll into the Sweet 16. Wisconsin looks particularly good. Michigan State with a great upset over Pittsburgh. Purdue played well, winning their first round game. You know, maybe not as deep as the conference has been, but these top teams in the Big Ten still look like they can play with anybody, don't they?
They certainly do, and I think it's a testimony to the conference for surviving and the will of the coaches and the players, once again, to show that, you know, you don't always sometimes get the glory that you're looking for, but when you, I think you start sifting through it, the quality of the teams and their strength, as universities and tradition, you know, get some, you know, somewhere down the line, the Sweet 16, hopefully we'll get a couple in the Elite Eight, and then, once again, go Big Ten.
We've got to take a commercial break here. We will get back with more little NBA talk coming up next on Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News.